Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, thanks for hopping on board this latest edition of Gun on One. We are locked and loaded with the latest episode. And on Sunday, it wasn't pretty, but most importantly, the Eagles finally got it done, man, when it counted most, to stay the best team in the National Football League. We're going to talk about their win on Sunday and looking ahead to a Green Bay Packers team that we just cannot figure out. Nobody can, for that matter. My special guest for this show is one of my favorites, man. As a matter of fact, he helped the Eagles win their first and only Super Bowl in 2017. He is the one and only Chris Long. Strap yourselves in. Gun on One coming at you right now.
This is Sal Palantonio from ESPN.
I'm Brandon Graham.
Lane Johnson here.
This is the magnificent DJ Jazzy Jeff.
This is Donovan McNabb.
This is Chris Long.
This is Mark Zumoff, the TV voice of the 76ers on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
It's Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski.
Hello, I'm Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova basketball.
Hey, I'm Brian Westbrook, and you're listening to the Gun on One podcast.
And what's happening? This is your blessed boy, Brian Dawkins, Hall of Famer, and you're locked in to Gun on One.
You are locked in to the Gun on One.
Gun on One.
Gun on One.
You are locked on to Gun on One.
I've been on the air for 25 years, but I could not wait to be on Gun on One with my man, Derek Gump.
ESPN bracketologist Joe Lunardi telling you to stay locked on to Gun on One. It is a number one seed.
All right, everybody, we are back with this week's edition of Gun on One. And as I promised, I don't want to keep him waiting too long because this man's got like 85 different job titles. He's a dad, a husband, podcast extraordinaire. He even does a segment talking to his refrigerator. I don't know what else he's doing. But
man, listen, I had to French talk was a little late at night for me. So if you if you notice, I haven't done one in a while. I've been trying to get more sleep, D-Gun, you know.
Man, look, man, I love watching you, man, because you know what? There's so many podcasts out there, and after a while, a lot of them get redundant. But you add a fresh flavor to it, man, like most people don't, man. And that's what I love about what you do with the Green Light Podcast, dude. So how's the podcast going for you?
It's going good, D-Gun. I appreciate the compliment. Learning from the best, man. You know, watching you work day to day. And now transitioning to this whole thing. So, you know, congrats on all your success now, you know, doing this too.
Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, no, it's listen, it's a, you know, it's a grind, but there's, we're doing five shows a week. It's a lot of fun. Like I love kind of watching the game. You know, this is how I stay involved. It's a nice way to be involved without coaching or playing.
Yeah. So when you do the live streams on game days, is it any structured or is it all ad lib?
It's all ad lib. I mean, it's okay. Just, the whole goal of our pod, D, is like, you know, if you're listening, you can imagine being sitting on the couch with me and my buddies. I mean, because a lot of it is, you know, whether it's one of my high school buddies, you know, co-hosting with me, or if it's my brother co-hosting with me like he does on Monday mornings,
yeah.
Whether it's Bo popping in and doing a show. We do Monday Night Review, me and Bo. You know, there's just a ton of people. One of my former teammates, Nate Collins, at Virginia, and then in the NFL, he's with us as well. So, you know, like, it's all just people in the same ecosystem that know each other well. And so when you're doing a live stream for us, it's just guys sitting on a couch and just kind of reacting.
Why is it that ex-athletes, not all, but many, when their playing days are done, the first thing they think of is, I'm going to transition into a media format somewhere. Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, like, the locker room for us was a lot of great conversations. So, as you know, and you heard some of them and you participated in some of them. Yeah. And I think for us, it's a mixture of how do I go where I am valuable and where I can transition into something that might seem seamless on the surface, although it is a whole nother skill, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and definitely props to people who are in the media and have done it their whole life. And especially with some of the assuming we as athletes might do, like, hey, this job could be mine. This job could be mine. Like, I never wanted to join like the traditional media kind of race, because it is like everybody's trying to get to the top. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I would much rather just have fun and talk about what I want to talk about with the people I want to talk about it with and have the guests on that I enjoy. So for me, podcasting was, you know, I can do it from home. I don't have to travel. Yep. I don't have to wear a suit, D. You know, that's a pretty good deal for me. Our studio is 10 minutes from my house. So I got two young kids. Mm. We've talked about this before. It's just good to be able to be home, you know, like, today I did our show in the morning. We do five shows a week, but it's 10 minutes from my house. So, you know, it's just a nice way to stay involved in the game, like I was saying, without being tied to the structure of, hey, coaching, where you got to be, you know, these coaches, these hours are just ridiculous. And then, and then the same thing, if I was a, you know, a media member in the traditional media, I'd have to go to New York or LA or something. Like, absolutely, my pops, I watched him when I was growing up, have to fly to LA every weekend, you know, and the way the media has changed now, we can do this from our living room. You know, we're doing it right now. All you need is a great conversation. So, that's where you come in, D-Gun.
Man. And you know, when I watch and listen to your podcast, the first thing that comes to mind is the personality behind the voice and the face. Now, you display some of that in the locker room in a short amount of time you were with the Eagles. And sometimes you had to be a little bit more serious based on the structure of the conversation. Yeah. But do you feel the freedom now to be you when you do this?
I think that's the hard part, is like trying to, you know, you want to be skilled. You want to, you want to have a take, you want to say something, but some days, you know, there's nothing to say. And some days, you know, you don't have to make a something out of nothing. Sometimes it's just about, hey, this is what happened. Very matter of fact. And I think for me, it's just finding a groove where you can capture an audience and take them with you. And on days where you don't want to be performative, which is most days for me, you want to just BS and talk, that you can still make money doing that. And you can still bring people along and make them feel like, hey, you know, they believe in you, what you're saying, you mean it. I'm wrong about a lot of stuff.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. I mean, like, hey, especially if you're in the arena and you're actually like, you know, like, you got to talk about 32 teams, you know, or in your case, you're breaking down the Eagles every week. And like, you know, we're going to be wrong. But I think if people know we're authentic and we're not trying to, you know, make it up as we go along, or, you know, chase clout, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I that's something that, like, it's trying to find the balance between, hey, I want to go here in my career, but I want to go there the right way. I don't want to go there, you know, making it up or saying sensationalist things. And that can be hard, because you do relax. You do sit on the couch and just BS about football. Right. And sometimes you forget there's just a lot of people listening, and you might just say something that comes out sideways or whatever. But, you know, try to be respectful, because I was a player once. And just try to break it down in a way that, you know, fans can understand, but also they learn something.
See, that's what I wanted to get to next. You're removed from the game, but you're still a part of the fraternity.
Right.
And do you have to guard yourself from being too honest, because you, the back of your mind, you're saying, I don't want to offend anybody who's playing the game. You have to worry about that?
I do. You know, like, only because I kind of believe in, hey, if I won't say it to your face, like, I'm not going to say it here.
Okay.
And, you know, I really do believe that. Now, it'd be weird for me to walk up to, you know, a quarterback on the street and be like, hey, that throw you made last week was really crappy, man. Yeah. Like, you know, that there's, you know, so that rule I got to say some stuff. Like, you know, I got to say some stuff that I wouldn't normally say. Right. Like, I'm analyzing the game, but you know, I'm also cognizant of the fact that I got friends playing, you know, and some of them are still playing a lot, and some, you know, are playing on the Eagles and on other teams. And, you know, I've said a few things that I've wanted back because, you know, somebody took it the wrong way or this, that, and the third. And some of it is just a result of just BSing, right? Like, you're BSing, you and me are BSing. We got to talk about people for a living, which kind of sucks. But for the most part, if you're respectful, people don't take offense to it, because I was a player. So I kind of know how it feels to hear some
absolutely
about me. And the problem is also now it's clickbait. So you say something, D, and then it gets put in these quotes, you know, like instead of giving out in context and hearing my voice when I say what I'm saying, because, you know, there's a difference in tone between, you know, saying, you know, point A and point B being much more negative based on how I say it.
Yep.
And so I think that's the biggest enemy of just being honest all the time, is people taking things out of context. And the game of telephone that happens before it gets to a player. Well, Chris said this about you.
Yep.
Well, I didn't actually say that, you know, or I said it in a different way than it was presented to you.
Look at you, man, how you've mastered the art of being a media mogul. All this stuff. I like that, man. You finally see, now you know.
But you know what, you know what I mean, though?
Yes, because you understand what I go through now, man. Yeah. It's not easy. You know, you try to be honest. You try to be insightful. You try to get a spin on things that other people might not have. You don't want to be the dime a dozen dude that says the same thing they can hear on any other channel. But because of social media, you have to be very careful how you word it, because it's told 50 different ways from the truth.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a hard, that's harder than just being you in front of a camera, is being very structured and careful what you say, so it doesn't come back and bite you.
Especially because, you know, our shows are a little bit wide open, and we're we got a little Howard Stern kind of thing going on where there's a lot of it's raunchy sometimes. And we say, you know, you know, it is like a locker room sometimes. And so, you know, you just it is a learning process. And the only way to learn is make mistakes. And I made them. Hopefully you just don't make real big ones, you know.
Right, right. I don't want to keep you too long because I know you're a busy man. But let's jump in on your birds here, man. And the first thing that comes to mind is, this Eagles team, to me, has a 2017 feel to it in terms of how we constructed this team off-season and adding players during the season as well. You guys in 2017 started out 10-1. This team right now is 9-1 and rolling. Do you get that vibe about this team as you watch? Because I know you watch them each and every week.
Yeah, I do get the vibe about him. And, you know, immediately what's apparent to me is how he wants to win right now. And, you know, it's nice. Yeah. It's empowering to have a GM that's doing that. And, you know, just hitting on the Jalen Hurts deal is such a big thing. And it's been a couple years now. But think about how quickly the window closed on our team and how quickly this window opened up again. So he deserves a lot of credit. And, you know, Nick Sirianni deserves a lot of credit because his attitude matches – you know, what you're trying to accomplish, which is that, like, hey, win right now. We're not worried about down the road. We're not like, we're going to be ultra competitive and try to win this thing. We think like that's our standard. And that's the vibe I get from Sirianni as well. So I think it's awesome. Like, from, you know, investing in the linebacker room to having these corners out here, like as a rusher, man, these corners, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do to rush with Bradberry and Slay back there. And Gardner Johnson's been here. He's been making a bunch of you know, big plays as well. They go out and get him. And then when you have a problem, they go out and fix it immediately. It's like Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh may not be world beaters at this stage in their career, but they're things that you have to do. Fletcher Cox can't take 70 snaps.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, it was hard when we were 23 to do that. He's now over 30 years old, and he would tell you that's too many. And so, like, in 1 week, you get your stiffest test, seemingly, you know, especially considering the circumstances, and Jonathan Taylor, they go down the field and punch us in the mouth, us. They punch these guys in the mouth the first drive.
Yeah.
And then from then on, they put the clamps on this guy. And I thought the defense deserves so much credit yesterday. You know, there's games where I got to give it to Jalen, and he made some big plays, all the quarterback runs, all the big throws he made. But the offense wasn't firing, right? You're first and 35, you turn the ball over. The defense, man, there were two possessions late in that game. I think it was 13-3. And they were at midfield, right? And you don't want to go down 20-3 or whatever it was. It would have been a three-score game. And in those possessions, the first one was Sue and Joseph teamed up for a sack. They force a punt. Okay, so this is after 4th and 10. You know, this is after, like, you know, it could get real ugly after that on the road. So there's that one. And then the very next one, Fletcher, you know, or one or two possessions later, midfield again, you got your back against the wall. Fletch forces a hold. And then the young kid from Louisiana Tech has a sack. And that field goal, it's a couple yards from going in. And as a defensive lineman, I just really wanted to highlight not just, you know, the 3rd and 5, Hassan Reddick down in the red zone. Big time players make big time plays, like just clutch plays, right?
He got away with one on that face mask. Woo, yeah. That was close, bro.
Oh, well. Oh, well. You know, it's karma because last week was some PSD. So
you're right.
So, you know, it's Reddick making that rush, which was a gorgeous rush. It's BG, 3rd and 9, you know, at the 40 and in 2 minute situation where a field goal will beat you. And they run that rookie over. And, you know, it just it was such a team effort up front and everybody played a role. And I got to shout out the offensive line, too, man, because two of the biggest plays of the game, the Quez touchdown, great pocket. Yep. And then in the 2 minute drill, you get Miles Sanders out on that wheel route, right? And they get him on a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Jalen has 5 seconds. 5 seconds. He could have had 7 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those big guys were blocking their asses off, man. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the team's built up front, and that's how you won that game yesterday. And there's no shame in winning that game close on the road.
Heck no. Hey, you mentioned Sue and Linville, and here's two guys that were sitting on the couch for the life of me. I can't understand how other teams didn't approach them before last week. And we had heard a story about Sue was approached by the 49ers, but he turned it down to come here. And I said off the top of my podcast, I said, look, you're not that far removed from the game. Yeah. If somebody called Chris Long tomorrow and said, we only need you for 10 to 15 plays a game.
Shoot, that's what I was doing.
Did you do it? Could you come back out of retirement?
There's only a couple. Hey, listen, I am a 37-year-old man, D. I think like, depending on – it's 50-50 if I pull my hamstring, if I had to run down the street after my dog. I don't know. But if somebody called me, I'd get my 250-pound ass off the couch. And if it was a contender and they were going to pay me and all I got to do is rush the passer, yes, sir. I'd say, hey – we'll see how that hamstring holds up out there, D.
Hey, but here's the bottom line. If you blow the hamstring, you still get paid for the rest of the season. You get paid 6-7 figures for the rest of the season.
No, dude. I'm just – hey, D, it's not anything to take lightly, but if 5 people on the Eagles got hurt, they could call me. If 5 people got hurt.
So the Chris Long competitive juices have not been put in a grave completely yet. Is that what you're saying?
Bro, I'm retired as hell.
But, come on, you know, man.
Jeff Saturday was retired. I was like, hey, if BG stubs his toe, if Robert Quinn trips going down the stairs in the morning, if Hassan Reddick gets too many parking tickets or something.
Come on, man.
Like, yeah. But I feel so at peace, man, just hanging out. It's awesome, and it's fun watching this damn team too.
I speaking of the team, I looked at this team. You look at the team on Sunday. Offense is stagnant. You know, give the Colts credit because they had a great defensive game plan, and they stonewalled that offense for the most part. But the dude, Jalen Hurts, man, all of a sudden he says, I'm putting this team on my back. And in the fourth quarter, he takes over. Can you talk about the maturation and the development that you've seen of this guy from last year to this year?
Yeah, he's been, man, like, and I just start with this when I talk about Jalen.
Yeah.
You know, everything you didn't get in the kid in New York, you get from Jalen.
Okay.
Every press conference, right? Mm-hmm. So the thing that really pissed me off this weekend was the Zach Wilson thing, the stand up there. Like, no, we didn't let the.
Yo, what's up with that?
Bro, hey, that was crazy.
You trying to lose a team? What are you doing?
Yeah, and so, like, and people make mistakes and stuff, but it didn't seem like an accident. So, Jalen, and not that he ever plays this way, but, you know, he gets up there and he's accountable. And he's also, you know, you can tell what type of leader he is, man. Right. Like, I've seen him break the team down. I've heard what he said. And guys pay attention to that. And, makes you want to play for a guy like that. He really does. And I didn't always know that I didn't think he'd be this good, man. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I had my doubts. You know, I thought he was a good player, but to be in an MVP conversation, I did not see this one coming, D. And I think what's really gotten better for him with the arrival of AJ Brown is that intermediate passing attack has been really good. And, you know, he's been able to throw the deep ball since he got in the league. You know, the placement has been great. Like, go back and watch that Pittsburgh game. Watch where he was putting those on the money, man. So he throws a beautiful ball outside the numbers. It's the intermediate stuff that has improved so much in a year. And I think it's just given him the weapons. And he's a smart player, man. He really is. And he knows his strengths. He knows his weaknesses. And having that player in the red zone to run the football like that,
right,
is such an advantage.
All right. If I pin you down and said, I need you to give me one attribute about Jalen Hurts that really jumps out at you, what would it be?
Leadership.
Okay.
All right. I mean, like, hey, he throws a great deep ball. There's guys that throw better deep balls. He's a good, accurate passer. There's guys who are more accurate. You know, he's a good runner. Josh Allen scares me more running the football.
Okay.
Okay. But this guy's like one of, if not the best leader in the NFL. He's up there with guys you'd want under center. I mean, from what I see from a distance, that guy in Kansas City
is
Michael Jordan competitive, and Michael Jordan, like, you know, lift the level of people up around you. But I mean, this guy in Philly, Jalen, has just been, he's stones, man. You can tell there's no fear in that guy. And, you know, if there's two players and one of them's like Jalen upstairs, tie goes to Jalen.
Wow.
And I'm not comparing him and Mahomes.
Right. Right.
I want to make sure everybody knows that. I'm just using that as an example of a guy who I think is a tremendous leader. And he's the MVP of the league, Patrick Mahomes. Watched football last night. I mean, unbelievable.
That game was incredible against the Chargers.
But Jalen Hurts has got that leadership ability that, you know, as a guy who's been on a team, you know, with young players making a run at a Super Bowl, like, you need guys like that in the locker room. I really appreciate kind of the way he handles himself.
If you were lining up to play against the Jalen Hurts, or you were a defensive coordinator, how would you try to defend him?
Man, that's a good question. Well, for one, you know, the thing is always, hey, keep a guy in the pocket, right? You know, a guy who can run like him. But he's not always looking to get out of trouble. You know, he really does sit in that pocket and go through his reads and that sort of thing. I think the biggest thing I would tell a defensive line is not get frustrated, because that offense can feel like they're just picking you apart. It's like a la carte when it's really running. And I think part of the problem is he's hard to bring down in the pocket, right? Because he's so strong. But he's also tough to get to because his offensive line is so damn good. I mean, those guys do such a good job. And you also have to think about, with a quarterback who extends plays and takes time and that sort of thing, that's got to be tough for an offensive lineman. But they'll always take that if a quarterback's really smart about when he extends plays and how deep he drifts, and, you know, when he bails to nine and when he spins out of the pocket, because that can be frustrating for an offensive lineman. But he does a really good job of picking his spots.
You lined up against in practice and played with my guy, Lane Johnson, a younger version of Lane. This dude has not given up a quarterback sack, dude, in like 2 years. How's that possible?
He's that good. You know, I'm not just saying this because he's my buddy. He's probably there's guys maybe that I didn't rush because I was a left end, but he was the best. He was the best tackle I think I played. You know, and I might have played some guys early in my career. Certainly I played, you know, Big O and St. Louis guys like that. But, you know, prime Lane Johnson it was amazing watching him set and watching him absorb a bull rush, but have the ability to beat anybody to 9 yards, to redirect. His underhand punch is like so kind of – it's a little unorthodox.
Yeah.
Stoutland's the best. So, you know, it's just all these guys playing together. And not to mention Lane likes getting after people in the run game.
Oh my goodness. I mean, he'd rather run block than pass block, to be honest with you.
He's moody.
I'm telling you,
he wants to get after people.
You know, the thing is about him, people who don't know him like we do, You know, he's this big imposing figure, but.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This dude's like a big kid, man. Yep. He's like an overgrown kid. Yep. And if you've ever had the opportunity to just sit and talk with him and chop it up, you'd find out he's just a regular guy like everybody else, man.
He's the funniest person. I put him up there with a guy named William Hayes. There were two funniest people that I played with, probably William and Lane. And we still talk. Like, I talk to Lane as much as I talk to anybody that, you know, that's still playing. And I get my weekly FaceTime in, you know, and I usually find myself smiling after that conversation. But yeah, on the field though, that dude doesn't take anything off anybody, and he's fun to watch, and he was tough to rush.
Hey man, we look at his Eagles offense, which was so electric and explosive for much of this season, but last two games they scored 21 points and really had to struggle to get 17. And I brought this up on my show Sports Take, which you have been gracious enough to be on a couple of times this year, and I said, Are coordinators catching up to what the Eagles are doing? Have they caught up to what they're doing? Because if you look at the last three or four games in particular, defensive ends are more disciplined now. They don't just continuously rush. When they run it at RPO, they're not just rushing. They stop at a certain point to try to force the issue. Are you noticing that as well?
I'm noticing it, but honestly, I felt like yesterday was bound to be a little bit of a struggle. Like, you know, I know you guys have probably talked about Dallas Goedert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And his absence, but – you know, I think he's as important as any piece on that on that offense. I mean, like, you know, we make a lot of big deal about A.J. Brown for good reason, but this guy was such a safety valve, and, you know, he can block the whole thing. So I'm not worried about it. I don't think people are necessarily catching up to them, but football is going to get harder. Like, that's what happens this time of year. Like, you don't know how, but people turning it up. I mean, people make adjustments. Some of the things you might be looking at is how defensive ends are playing the RPO and that sort of thing. But I just think the quality of play is just going to continue to go up, and it's going to be on this offense to continue to play the way they played against some of these teams and now do it in November and in December against some of the best teams in the league. I mean, you know, you watched Dallas last night or yesterday, like everybody else. Right. Like, I know we don't like complimenting those dudes, but those guys on defense are
balled out.
Man, so, you know, I think the run game is going to be important. I think you got to stick with it this time of year. You can't, you know, you can't be too finesse this time of year. So that's not something I really feel like you got to worry about much with this offense. They just got to stay at it, you know, and I'm really excited to see them down the stretch.
I'm glad you mentioned Dallas Goedert. He had 43 catches before he got hurt. He doesn't get a lot of the national accolades, but you being one of the guys who look on the inside out, because you have a different perspective than a lot of us do, where would you rank him among the best tight ends in the game today? Number three. Who's
three
ahead
or four.
Of?
Okay.
Three who's or ahead four. Of?
Well, George Kittle when he's healthy.
Okay.
Obviously Travis Kelce, if you know, but Travis is so damn good catching the football. Like, I don't even care about the blocking.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
I know.
And then, you know, Waller, you're up there, but I know it sounds crazy, but I put him up there, and they're so different. The players are so different. Right. But you know, Dallas does everything. He really does. And, you know, he's the run after the catch, the route running, you know, finding a soft spot in the zone. You know, you definitely learned something from Ertz before Ertz left the building. And also just the run blocking, man. I mean, you can kind of use him as a move guy. Like, he's athletic enough to do that. He does everything, man. So he's on that. He's in that Mount Rushmore of tight ends in the game right now, in my opinion. And with a chance to be second, third best guy in the league. It just depends on how people stay healthy or don't stay healthy. I mean, Waller's had some injuries, maybe a down year this year, circumstantially. Kittle's had some injuries, but you know, I think Dallas Goedert's right up there, right under that Kittle.
Yep.
I mean, definitely under there, but you're talking about Kelce might be the best tight end of all time, depending on who you talk to.
You know what? It's hard to argue. I mean,
I think it's Gronk, but
okay. But dude, I'm glad you said that, because I look at Kelce back earlier in the season. He had 27 catches, 27 yards receiving in a game, but he had four touchdowns.
Right.
And you look at his numbers, you know, against the Chargers Sunday night, they weren't like wild numbers, but he had three touchdowns.
Yeah.
You can't control this dude. You might be able to slow him down for a bit. You can't stop this dude, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that those crossers, man, all year. You know, you talk about that mesh route at the end of that yes. ball game, and like the robbers sitting over top of them, and like, where do I support? You know, like, how can I help Derwin James? Because, and that's, I mean, Derwin James is an absolute beast, man. I mean, and he was great last night and made some amazing plays. How about that sack he had? I mean, man, he's like He-Man.
He used that running back like a wet rag, didn't he?
Uh-huh. Yeah, just tossed him out of the way, man. And you know, in the biggest snap of the game, Kelce's so damn competitive. You know, you could tell he wanted that moment. You know, he wants those moments. He lives for those moments. And that's why I speak so highly of him and Patrick, man. They are – I was wondering this today on my show, D. Are they the most fun – quarterback, wide receiver, tight end kind of duo ever? Yes. I'm not saying best. Ever. I'm saying fun. Okay. With the access we have to these guys' personalities and kind of who they are and how they get along, and kind of the same type of age and competitive as hell. I mean, Brady and Gronk were a lot of fun, but it felt kind of like a father-son thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is – these two guys, they finish each other's sentences. They everything's nonverbal. You know, they do so much – like kind of scramble drill out there, which is another thing that makes them super cool to me, is like a lot of these great wide receiver quarterback duos from like the 90s and before that, like Mahomes is breaking down the pocket left and right. So these guys have got to do a lot of crazy stuff, you know, after the route tree breaks down. So I think it's a lot of fun watching them every Sunday.
I will say this. I think they are the best quarterback tight end combination in the game today, for whatever that's worth.
For sure. I'm not saying they're the best ever.
Right, right.
I'm just saying that I enjoy them. They're so damn competitive. They're so fun. And I just think they do everything the right way. Like, Mahomes does everything the right way.
Yeah.
You know, a superstar like that in our game, that you can watch him do that on the field, and he always says the right thing, supports his teammates. He's competitive as hell. And, you know, Kelce's the same way.
You look at this Eagles defense for a moment. They were getting gouged at a run game. Five consecutive games giving up over 100 yards rushing. The last two opponents, Houston and Washington, just ran all through them. So Howie goes out and he gets 35-year-old Ndamukong Suh and 34-year-old Linval Joseph. That's 635 pounds of fresh meat. Put it at a turn of line, dude. Great USDA. USDA prime beef in that line, man. Are you surprised they were able to walk in off the street and contribute the way they did?
A little bit. I mean, like, I guess of all of all jobs there are to do, and I'm not minimizing the job right. description of Mr. Right. Linval Joseph, because he is Mr. Linval Joseph to me. I mean, you saw that Joker walk through that hallway, man, on the, what, you know, the Eagles had the welcome to the Eagles kind of post there, D. And yeah, I was like, man, this guy's got a presence. I haven't seen anybody walk through that hallway like that since JP. Like, just, you know, like just striding through that hallway, man, taking up the whole damn thing. So his job is to stand there and build a wall. And, you know, I don't know how hard either guy was training. I'm sure they were training, waiting for the call. But then from there, it's like, hey, we're not running a bunch of complex pressures, man. You know, it's first and second down. Let's stop this run and let's convert the pass. And Joseph did on that sack, man. And Sue did, too. They both won their rushes.
Yeah.
And Joseph, man, Ryan Kelly, he two crow hops, and then he just went to his knees. So I think he's roll out of bed strong, number one. And I think number two, the job is not incredibly complex.
Right.
So I'm pretty encouraged by that, but I am a little bit surprised.
Look at Jonathan Gannon for a moment. His defense leads the league in turnovers. They still have one of the best run defenses in the league, even though they were getting gouged. A lot of people scream about his scheme, which he refers to as a scheme philosophy. Do you think he gets too much negative criticism for what he's done, or is it justified? Because I'm always screaming about, why do you have two potential Pro Bowl cornerbacks playing 7 to 10 yards off the ball instead of having them play more press coverage? Are we too critical of Jonathan Gannon a lot of times?
Well, you know, I think so. I'm not saying we are. Like, I'm saying naturally we're going to be too critical of people. Like, man, like in Philly, you know, people are – it's football. Football in Philly, you know, and this guy, look at it. 17 points a game, you know, whatever it is, and they got gashed for a couple weeks there. That looks to have been put to bed. And I think usually when you're worried about corners playing off or playing soft, I think as a rusher, I'm like, man, well, I need the fractions of time, you know, and I don't think this team has had trouble rushing the passer.
Right.
You know, and yesterday, like Matt Ryan, I got rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds. I think he was the third fastest release in the NFL this last week. So, you know, these guys are still getting to them. So they're creating situations where you can put heat on the quarterback. And I think, you know, scheme's different. You know, I hadn't played in a scheme quite like that.
Okay.
But it's working right now, man. So I certainly don't give him too much heat.
Okay. Another of your former teammates, Fletcher Cox, he was asked to play 70 snaps in the last game against Washington. And, dude, I saw him getting driven down the field like I've never seen him getting driven down the field before. Then he go out, obviously, and get Sue in Linville. And I hate to say this, but I need to get your perspective on this. Are the better days of Fletcher Cox behind him? Because when you look at the money he's making, $14 million, in comparison to his productivity, the two don't seem to balance out this season. Am I overstating that case, sir?
Well, I mean, listen, how old is the guy?
32, maybe.
Getting a lot of good football out of a guy who's 32. That's the way I look at it. You know, like, and a guy that's been there, I know that, you know, he's making a hell of a lot of money. And I know it's hard past 30 to live up to, you know, that kind of contract. But
sure,
he's also team guy. You know, guy that shows up every day.
Right.
You know,
he's got
to be a leader. And I think – he's also been kind of unselfish about it. You know, like these guys coming in, that's not stealing his shine. That's not take. He wants to be, fresher. You know, he wants to play a little bit less. It looked like, you know, talking about 70 plays and that sort of thing. So for me, when it comes to Fletch, you got a guy that was probably, I mean, I played with Aaron Donald, you know, he was up there at prime Fletch, you know, like, every player's in his prime in his late 20s. So, you know, just to say, hey, this guy's not as good as he was a couple years ago. Well, I mean,
right.
What do you want him to do? Get better? You know, like it's really tough to stay, especially when he's had a couple injuries.
Yeah.
To stay at that level. And I think he's doing a really good job of being a team guy, busting his ass. You're not going to get maybe the Fletch that you got in 2017. That's 5 years ago now. Right.
True.
But what version of Fletch can you get right now, and how much does he add to this team? I do think he adds a lot to this team. And, you know, depending on the money and that sort of thing, that's up to them. But the way I look at things is as a player, Fletch is a positive on this team. And so I'm happy he's on it, because down the stretch, and I almost feel like it's going to be, you know, the guy that stuck it out, that's, you know, played through some injuries, that's been unselfish. I hope he makes a huge play in the playoffs, you know, something that he can kind of hang his hat on, because obviously he can hang his hat on 2017.
Okay.
But it'd be nice if he could bookend it with another big performance at some point here in the playoffs coming up. And I think that's where the vets really shine. And that's where people that have been there really shine.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. You look at this Eagles defensive unit. Number one, turnovers. One of the best in terms of points allowed, under 20 points a game. Run defense. You look at the all-star talent they have on this defense. All right. You look at the offense. Look at the offense they have. You know, you got one of the most electric quarterbacks in the game, wide receivers, arguably the best offensive line in the game. In your estimation, which unit is better, Eagles offense or defense?
Ooh. If Dallas Goedert's not on the field, I think it's probably the defense.
Okay. Okay.
You know, just because I think you got playmaking linebackers. I think you got, you know, dynamite corners. You got solid safety play, net, right? You've taken the ball away there. Your depth on the defensive line is so damn good. It's so good. People were complaining to me that Robert Quinn didn't make any plays yesterday. I'm like, well, he played 10 snaps.
Right.
Matt Ryan's getting the ball out. But, you know, like, we have an embarrassment of riches up front. And, you know, like, I was on a group like that in 2017.
Yep.
This is uniquely different. The scheme's different. You know, some of the pieces are different. But you've got guys like BG. You've got Reddick. You've got Sweat. Like, those are three Pro Bowl-level defensive ends. You know, you have guys inside who have been there. You have Fletcher Cox, who we just talked about, where, you know, we're talking about, hey, is he the 2017 Fletcher Cox? Well, you know, if that's our biggest problem, we've got Joseph, Sue, you've got Hargrave,
Milton Williams,
awesome. Milton. The depth is crazy. So I would give it to the defense, but just by a hair, man, and only because Dallas Goedert is hurt right now.
All right. I know you don't have a lot of time. I only got a few questions left for you, but I got to get these in. Next opponent, Green Bay. And I don't know what to make of this Green Bay team. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what to make of him. He's been missing targets. What do you expect from – I mean, are we going to see the Aaron Rodgers that tore up Dallas a few weeks ago, or the Aaron Rodgers who couldn't hit the ocean against Tennessee last week? I mean, if you're preparing for Aaron Rodgers, what are you preparing for?
If I'm preparing for Aaron Rodgers, I'm preparing for one of the best damn quarterbacks of all time. Like, I've seen him this year. Like, I watched all the games. I know Tennessee wasn't as good, but this dude's been putting the ball in the money a lot. I mean, like, some people are like, what game are you looking at? But the margin for error for him this year has been small. And there's been times in the past where he's complained about weaponry and that sort of thing. And I've been like, well, you know, you've had more than a lot of guys, maybe. I mean, and you know, they've had some receivers there, and they missed Devontae, but – this year it's been tough sledding. So I think, you know, you're still preparing for the GOAT. You know, people got to stay home. People can't fall asleep. The thing you got to worry about with them is that big play.
Yeah.
You know, the he can still put that ball in the money to Christian Watson 2 weeks ago, like nobody's business. I mean, he's still got that. And you know, it's the run game with Aaron Jones, and that guy's never down. So I think it's rallying to football and then keeping things in front of you when he does drop back to pass and win your damn one-on-ones, because there's going to be sacks. They're out there. I mean, he's going to pat the ball a little bit, try to create. He'll drift. I like some of the matchups up front.
All right. It's going to be interesting Sunday night showdown indeed. You know, I thought I knew a lot about you, and then I do a little bit more research and I find out when you were at Virginia, you were the first player to have your jersey retired while you were still an active player, number one. And then a friend of mine told me, Rob Ellis, who I co-host the show with, Sports Take, he told me that one of the schools that him and his daughter visited this past summer when she was deciding on schools was Virginia. And they said in the athletic, I believe it's the athletic department, there's this larger than life picture of Chris Long in there.
Yeah.
And, dude, what does that mean to you, man?
It's cool, man. I mean, listen, you never feel deserving of having your jersey retired. But at least it wasn't the number, 'cause that would have been really messed up, you know? but I, you know, my coach and I had a really great relationship, Al Groh. He's an NFL guy. I don't know. You know, I don't know. It was a cool honor. And then, you know, with the big mural, I think it was because I donated a bunch of money to the indoor facility. So they were like, hey, well, maybe he wants his picture up there. I don't care either way, man. You know, for me, it's about the people you meet and, you know, kind of like, I live 10 minutes down the street from where I played football in college. And this last week was really tough for us, and you and I have talked about it, you know, a lot of guys coming back, those relationships are really important. And I'm really lucky. I went to school somewhere where I was able to, you know, forge a lot of those relationships.
Man, your university was the center of the United States universe a week ago because of a tragic incident there. Five young people lost their lives, 18 more injured. And I know you live close to the campus. It sounds like a dumb question, but I don't know how to word it exactly. How does that affect you, man? I mean, you're an alumni there. You have a lot of ties there still. You're proud of the university. As you said, you've donated a lot of money to the university. How did that impact Chris Long?
It hurt, man. I mean, it definitely hurt. It's tough to see the state of the world, you know, but I think for me, it was like a numbness that, you know, I've talked about this before. Hey, listen, you see this stuff on the timeline and adjectives people use, like devastated, numb, crushed, like whatever it is. And they're kind of just words. But when this hits close to home, proximity is kind of crazy. And so Devin, Deshaun, Lavelle, I mean, especially Lavelle, a guy that I knew a little bit, and he was such a great kid. These kids were all, we went to the memorial Saturday. These kids were all real bright, you know, kind of shining stars, man. And college athletes are such amazing, resilient people, but to overcome something like this is going to be tough. So again, it comes back to the community. And one of my best buddies is the wide receivers coach there. So Lavelle was kind of like family to them. And, you know, I know Devin as well. And And, you know, Mike's out of the hospital. So it's just been a crazy week, man. But guys are, you know, the football universe is really tight. It can get tight and people can support each other. So I'm just real thankful that people have been reaching out and that sort of thing. Because it's been a tough week around here.
Have you been able to reach out, maybe help some of the grieving? And if so, how?
Well, I mean, it's kind of a situation where the harsh reality is like there's nothing you can do to change what's happened, but all we can do is kind of lean on each other and try to make yourself available. So for me, like I said, my buddy Marcus, his two kids are like best friends with my kids. Wow. You know, Lavelle was at their house all the time. And so, you know, it's been a hard week for them. I've been trying to support them where I can and, you know, try to support these kids. You know, we showed up a bunch of guys, you know, whether it was Heath Miller or a bunch of former NFL guys, Billy McMullen was out there, a bunch of dudes, just to show face and support. And then also now these kids are going to need us more than anything because this week has been hard, but it's also been a lot of outpouring of support for these guys. And so when that stops, I think is the hardest thing. You know, it's going to be quiet and, you know, it's going to be Thanksgiving here this week. I don't know if they're going to play the game or not. But it's just you can tell that a really hard part for these kids is going to be after, you know, after the dust settles here and, you know, you kind of have to get back to normal life.
Right.
So we just got to do the best we can to stay supportive of them and let them know that we're here for them.
Chris Long, I always respect your honesty, man, and your insight, brother. And I know you're hurting and the University of Virginia family is hurting, man. And our hearts and prayers go out to you guys down there, man. And all you can do is just keep praying, brother.
Yeah, no question. It's all we can do. Those kids were amazing. And, you know, we were better for having them for a short time. Thanks, D-Gun.
Yeah, man. Thank you as well for giving me some time on Gun on One. I know you're busy, but you know what? Anytime I call you, whenever you can, you always answer the call, brother. And I'll never, ever take that for granted.
I appreciate you, man.
All right, man. You know, I love you like a brother, man.
All right, man. See ya.
You take care.
Okay.
All right. That's going to wrap up this edition of Gun on One, the podcast. What a blessing and an honor it was to have Chris Long on for this podcast. As I tell you people each and every week, stay blessed out there because it's a crazy world we live in. But more importantly, don't be shy about extending yourselves and being a blessing to each and every person you encounter. Until next time, thanks for hanging out with Chris Long and myself. Don't forget to watch Chris Long and his Greenlight podcast and stream on game days. It's quite entertaining. Until next time, so long, everybody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.